And we're back here on Alaska HomeWise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. We now welcome Ilya Benesh. He's ready to take your questions. Well, let's ask him, actually. Are you ready, Ilya?
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay. First question. I have a wood stove. Can I burn coal in it as well?
Well, that could be a loaded question, so I think I'm going to be cautious with this one. Unless a wood stove was specifically designed to burn coal too, I would be very hesitant to burn coal in it. And there are a couple reasons for this. And for one, coal has the ability to burn much, much hotter than wood, and it can damage the stove or even get it so hot that it becomes a fire hazard for anything that's close by that could basically catch on fire. One other thing, too, is that burning coal in a stove that isn't airtight and designed for burning coal can be dangerous, too, because if the fire gets too hot, you don't have any way to shut down the air supply completely, and it takes a lot longer for a coal fire to go out if you've still got a little bit of residual air in there. So, once again, the big issue there is heat. So you want to basically have a stove that is designed to take that high heat. Generally, those are really thick, either steel or typically cast iron, and they may have fire brick inside them. The other thing with coal stoves is they've got a grate that supports the coal so airflow can get in from underneath. That's how the coal burns. A wood stove burns from the top down. So that's kind of a little bit of a difference, too. I'm not saying you can't burn coal in a wood stove, but I would be extremely careful in doing so. And I kind of have a little story in this regard, and that was when I was a kid and my family had a nice coal stove. It was small, cast iron, well insulated with fire brick, and I decided that I wanted to fill it up because I didn't want to sit there and watch it for the afternoon, and so that was just fine. I put a lot of coal in it, but what I did is I opened up the air supply a little too much and I put lots of little pieces of coal in because that was what was left in the bottom of the coal bin. And that combination of getting too much air and having a giant pile of little pieces of coal got that thing really, really hot. And that little coal stove was glowing a deep pulsating red. And the chimney, which was an insulated metal Bestas chimney, got so hot you couldn't touch it or get your hands within a quarter inch of it. You could get close, but it was really scary. And coal fires don't go out easy. So I sat there with a fire extinguisher for about an hour and a half and waited for something bad to happen. So let that be a cautionary tale for anyone out there that really wants to use a lot of coal. You have to watch it, and you have to regulate airflow.
Wow. All right. Well said. Next question. One of our favorite listeners, Kristen from North Pole, wants to know, I have a metal roof with a very steep pitch. I've been told I cannot install gutters. Is there something else that I can do?
I think that one way or another, there's got to be a way to get gutters up there. And there's different types of gutters, too, and so it all depends. I mean, there's the inexpensive snap-together ones that a lot of the lumber yards are carrying, and those generally aren't so strong. They're made out of plastic, and sometimes just the plastic, after being exposed to sunlight and temperatures, gets brittle and cracks, and the gutters fall off. But there's also the professionally installed seamless gutter systems. Those guys typically make those on site with an actual forming machine, and they use really long, strong fasteners to install those gutters to the side of the fascia, so those are a lot stronger. The key, really, to properly install gutters is that they are below the plane of the roof, so any snow that's sliding off can't get hooked in that gutter and rip it off the side of the building. If for some reason it isn't possible to get that gutter below the roof plane, then you could start installing snow stops or even fabricate, and some of the gutter companies do this, fabricate kind of a little berm that will direct that snow when it slides down the roof up and over so it doesn't quite catch the lip of the gutter. So for the guys that do it professionally, they usually have some pretty creative sort of bags of tricks in their toolbox that they can come up with for installing gutters.
I want to put in a chimney for my stove, but there are a bunch of things in the way, including a beam. How can I get around all these obstacles and out where I need to go?
Well, that can always be frustrating when you've got the perfect place for a stove and something's in the way. And, you know, ideally a chimney should be a straight shot for easy cleaning and proper drafting, but sometimes it just isn't possible and you've got to put an elbow in the pipe. I think that probably the best place to put an elbow is down at the bottom because it allows you to scrub the chimney top to bottom and clean it, and you can still get inside the stove then and vacuum out whatever collects in that elbow with a shop vac. You know, there's other options too. I don't know that I generally would recommend them, but sometimes people run their chimney pipe straight out the back of the stove, out the wall, and then straight up the outside. This can work or it cannot work. It's very case dependent. But if you've got a chimney pipe that immediately leaves your stove, goes out the wall, and goes up, it can get pretty darn cold in that pipe because it's no longer in an insulated space. And so what happens then is that you may get some of that smoke that doesn't exit the chimney because it gets cold inside the stack. That's where you get the creosote buildup and that chimney fire hazard. Also, initially starting up a stove with a pipe that's cold may not draft properly, and it may smoke and smolder and actually introduce pollutants into the house if it's not an airtight stove. So, you know, I would consider doing other things before going out the back wall. Not to say it's not an option, but it can get tricky.
I'd like to put a metal roof on my new home. Is there anything I need to consider about metal roofing before I start?
Yeah, there's a few things that set metal roofing apart, say, from composition shingles. For starters, I think in terms of longevity, metal roofing can be an excellent choice. It is going to be more expensive, too, so everything's a trade-off. But keep in mind, for one, if you're looking at metal roofing and looking at doing it yourself, that there are typically screw patterns designed by the manufacturers for putting that roofing on, so I'd be pretty aware of the installation guidelines. The main thing with metal roofs is they're going to be a lot more likely to shed snow. And on a steep pitch, you're pretty much guaranteed that the snow is going to slide off at some point during the winter. And if it doesn't happen in the winter, it's going to happen on some warm day during the spring. And when the snow gets ready to slide off, I mean, there's a lot of potential there for damage because the snow can have so much weight. You can shear a deck off of a house, you can crush a car, or if it's over a doorway, sometimes in the spring that snow starts to thaw and it gets a little sensitive and somebody can slam a door and walk outside. And just that act of slamming the door shakes that roof just enough that it'll free it all off and it'll come down in a big pile. So it can be dangerous. And so I would take a really close look at what can get damaged by falling snow when I'm putting a metal roof on. And so if you see that there might be problems, that's when you start looking at snow stops as a solution. And those are essentially just a series of sort of pre-bent steel triangles that are quite sturdy that get screwed on in rows going up the roof. And there's also a manufacturer's pattern for doing that. But they do a really good job generally of holding that snow on there. The last thing I could think of with a metal roof is that just as anything on the ground is susceptible to damage from sliding snow, anything on the roof is too. So your stove pipes, your septic vent pipes, your power mast if it comes in through the roof, especially if these are down low, sliding snow can shear those off or break them or damage them. And so in this case, once again, you could go to snow stops or you could have something installed which is called a cricket. And essentially that's sort of a metal triangle, looks a little bit like a miniature dormer. A lot of the sheet metal places will make those for you. And it essentially acts like a cow catcher behind the chimney pipe like an old-fashioned train would. So the snow comes down, hits sort of that cricket, and it gets diverted to either side of the pipe. And so you're not basically ramming all that snow right against the pipe where you could damage it.
Last question. I have a large house, and I use a lot of fuel. I know my home is well insulated. Is there a way to move the heat around my house better?
Even a small inline fan between two walls up high can get enough air moving through that you can use that air as a vehicle to move the heat around. If you have an HRV system, or you're looking at installing an HRV system, this can really free up some nice options because the newer systems, a lot of them have a control option on there that lets you put that HRV in a recirculation mode. And so for, say, 40 minutes out of every hour, you could just recirculate air in that house. And so this is great for someone who's got a wood stove in a living room and they've got back bedrooms and they want to get heat back there. Well, that HRV will automatically default into recirculation mode, or you could do it manually. And it'll just gradually even out the heat in the house by moving the air around. The nice thing is that some of the controls on the newer systems retrofit really easy onto the older systems. So if you have an old system, don't despair. There may still be options for you to retrofit that and have that air circulation option.
That's all for this week's edition of Alaska HomeWise. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week.
If you want to submit a question to Alaska HomeWise, email us at akhomewise@cchrc.org. We'll try and get your question answered on the air. For more information on HomeWise, including a schedule of upcoming shows, visit the UAF Cooperative Extension Service website at www.uaf.edu/ces or the Cold Climate Housing Research Center at cchrc.org. Save energy. Save money. Become HomeWise.